Welcome back, everybody. We are diving into some really interesting stuff today.
Yeah, should be fun.
We're going to be looking at some excerpts from the first session of Dr. Marv Wilson's college course on biblical prophets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, when you think about prophets, you probably think, oh, predicting the future, right? Like, Nostradamus or
Like that kind of.
psychics and all of that. But we're going to uncover a whole new dimension
Yeah, no, it's funny how
of these figures.
that's all they're known for.
Right. And it's funny because, I was thinking about it, and it's true. It's like when you see, headlines
Headlines, yeah.
or you think about prophets, you always think about like
The end of the world.
end of the world or the Antichrist or
Armageddon.
Armageddon, like all that stuff. Like it's almost become like a trope,
Totally out.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because, Dr. Wilson even showed some examples in his class of like,
Like tabloids and stuff.
tabloids and stuff,
Yeah,
totally.
yeah.
But it begs the question, like, is predicting the future really the main thing they were about?
It's a good question. And surprisingly, not at all.
Really?
It's actually a very small percentage of what they talked about.
Wow.
Less than 10%, to be precise.
Really? Less than 10%? That's wild.
Yeah.
So what were they focused on for the other 90%?
Well, they were tackling the pressing issues of their time: social injustice, oppression of the marginalized, the erosion of ethical and moral values. They were really the, you could say, social justice warriors of their day.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
They were fearlessly challenging the status quo, demanding better.
So instead of like sitting around and predicting the end of the world, they were more concerned with the state of the world that
Absolutely.
they lived in.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were deeply invested in the present, passionately advocating for a more just and compassionate society.
So were they popular?
You know, that's a good question. I think
I mean, you would think if they were like,
They ruffled some feathers for sure. The Dr. Wilson even mentioned, he said, the prophets take us to the slums and they rave as if the whole world were a slum. So they were not afraid to call things out as they saw them.
Wow, that's a really powerful way to put it. And it's interesting because he was also talking about like people making decisions based on predictions about the future. And he mentioned that student, who left college
Oh, right.
because he thought the rapture was imminent.
Right. Figure there's no point in studying if the
Yeah,
world's gonna end.
exactly.
Yeah. And there's, other stories like William Miller and his followers back in 1844 who thought the world was gonna end then. It just really highlights the danger of misinterpreting these things.
Totally. Yeah, that's really fascinating. So it sounds like, context is everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, context is everything. You really have to understand the time and place that these prophets were speaking in. It's like they were holding up a mirror to their society, exposing its flaws and calling for change.
So they're more like social commentators than like fortune tellers.
Yes, exactly. And their commentary wasn't passive. They were actively engaged in trying to shape their society, urging people to live up to a higher moral standard. They weren't afraid to challenge authority, even at great personal risk.
And it's funny because, even thinking about like Jesus, Dr. Wilson brought up this question. He said, "Do you consider Jesus a prophet?"
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you think about it,
He did kind of fit the mold in a way.
yeah.
His pronouncements against hypocrisy, his defense of the marginalized,
Right.
his confrontations with those in power.
Right.
I mean, these all resonate with that prophetic tradition.
Totally. Yeah, it's interesting to think about, like figures that we know
In a new light.
in a new light. Okay, so we've kind of established that, prophets were more focused on the present than predicting the future. But where do their writings fit in? Like how do they play into the whole structure of the Hebrew Bible?
Well, they're woven into the fabric of it.
Okay.
The prophetic books offer this unique blend of historical context and these really powerful messages, and they provide a lens through which we can understand the social, the political, the spiritual landscape of ancient Israel.
Right. So to really get their message, we need to understand both like the historical context and also how prophetic literature works.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting,
Okay.
because we're going to be diving into the rich tapestry of imagery, symbolism, and poetic language that characterizes these writings.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It is. It is. And it's a journey that can really challenge our assumptions and deepen our understanding of these figures who dared to speak truth to power and offered a vision of a more just and compassionate world.
I love it. I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back to start unpacking all that. Okay, so we've been talking about how these prophets, you know, they were more focused on the present than the future, but like they weren't all delivering the same message, right?
No, absolutely not. Each prophet brought a unique perspective and a unique style to their message, often reflecting, you know, their own personal experiences and the challenges of their communities.
So, like, you know, Dr. Wilson was talking about a group called the Minor Prophets, and I thought to myself, like, Minor Prophets, like, does that mean they were less important?
No, not at all. Minor just refers to the length of their books.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're kind of like, I think of them as concentrated bursts of prophetic energy.
Okay.
Packed with insights and challenging pronouncements.
So give me an example. Like who were some of these minor prophets?
Oh, well, let's start with Amos.
Okay.
He was a shepherd and a fig farmer.
Okay.
Not a member of the religious elite.
So a regular guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was called by God to deliver this really scathing critique of social injustice.
Interesting. So what did he focus on?
Well, he was particularly concerned with the exploitation of the poor and vulnerable.
So, like, Amos was just, like, thrust into this role of prophet.
Pretty much, yeah. And he didn't miss words. He directly challenged the wealthy and powerful, you know, accusing them of neglecting the needs of the poor and perverting justice. He saw their lavish lifestyles as a stark contrast to the suffering of the marginalized.
So he was like a voice for the voiceless.
Exactly.
Calling out, you know, those in power.
He was. And he insisted that, you know, true worship wasn't just about rituals and sacrifices.
Right.
But about living justly and compassionately.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, Dr. Wilson also talked about Hosea.
Yeah.
And how his personal life became like a metaphor for God's relationship with Israel. Like that's pretty out there, right?
It's a very unique approach.
So how did that work?
Hosea was instructed by God to marry this woman named Gomer, who was known for being unfaithful.
Mm.
And this tumultuous relationship, marked by betrayal and heartbreak, became a symbolic representation of Israel's unfaithfulness to God.
Interesting.
Through their idolatry and disobedience.
So he's like using his own marriage to symbolize God's relationship with Israel?
Yeah.
Wow.
But despite the pain and betrayal, Hosea's message ultimately offered hope.
Oh, okay.
Just as he remained committed to Gomer, despite her failings, God's love for Israel remained steadfast.
Okay.
Even in the face of their straying.
So even though like there's this critique, there's also like this.
There's hope.
There's hope in there.
Absolutely. There's this message of enduring love.
Okay.
And the possibility of reconciliation.
Okay. Now, what about Micah? What was Micah about?
Micah, well, he was a contemporary of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And like Isaiah, he was really concerned with social justice. He condemned the corruption and the greed of the ruling class.
So kind of like Amos, calling out the the people in charge.
Yep.
Okay.
The exploitation of the poor, the abuse of power.
So did he offer any solutions?
He did. Micah famously summarized the essence of true religion with this powerful statement. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Mm.
It's a pretty timeless message.
Yeah.
Justice, mercy, and humility.
So we've got Amos, Hosea, Micah. Were there any other minor prophets that we should touch on?
Oh yeah, there's quite a few. There's Joel, for example.
Okay.
He's known for this very vivid imagery of this devastating locust plague.
Oh wow.
That devastates the land.
Okay.
And this natural disaster becomes this symbol of judgment and a call to repentance.
So like using a real world event.
Exactly.
To make a spiritual point.
Yeah. The devastation caused by the locusts served as a metaphor for the consequences of turning away from God.
Okay.
But even amidst those pronouncements of judgment, Joel, like the other prophets, offered a glimmer of hope.
Okay.
He spoke of a future outpouring of God's spirit on all people.
Hmm.
A time of restoration and abundance.
Oh, wow. Now, what about Habakkuk? What was his...
Habakkuk. He grappled with a question
that
has haunted humanity for centuries. Why does God allow suffering and injustice to persist?
Yeah.
And he actually engaged in this dialogue with God, expressing his doubts, his frustrations.
Wow. So he was not afraid to ask the hard questions.
He wasn't. And what's remarkable is, you know, God doesn't shut him down.
Right.
Doesn't punish him for his honesty.
Right.
You know, it's this reminder that authentic faith isn't about blind acceptance.
Hmm.
It's about engaging in an honest dialogue.
Yeah.
Even when things are tough.
Okay, so we've got Amos, Hosea, Micah, Joel, Habakkuk. Who else? Who am I missing?
Well, we have one more minor prophet to discuss.
Okay.
Zephaniah.
Okay, Zephaniah. What did he talk about?
Well, Zephaniah focused on impending judgment on Judah for its idolatry and wickedness. He warned of the consequences of turning away from God and the need for repentance.
So a very serious message.
It was a very stark message. But even Zephaniah, like the others, held out this hope for a remnant who would be faithful and a future restoration for God's people.
So even though it was a message of judgment, there was still this thread of hope running through it.
Always. The prophets, you know, they didn't shy away from confronting the harsh realities.
Right.
But they also held on to this vision of a transformed world,
mm.
a world where God's justice and mercy would flow freely.
It seems like we could do a whole deep dive on each one of these prophets.
We could, yeah. Each one is fascinating in their own right.
Yeah, but Dr. Wilson also talked about, kind of a major prophet that we should talk about, Isaiah.
Ah, yes, Isaiah.
What's the deal with Isaiah?
Well, he's considered one of the most significant and influential of all the prophets.
Okay.
His writings are vast. They're complex. They cover this huge range of themes: judgment, repentance, hope, restoration.
Wow.
He even speaks about a future messianic figure who will bring peace and justice to the world.
Oh, interesting. So Dr. Wilson mentioned that Isaiah is quoted extensively in Handel's Messiah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of his words.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, he was a master storyteller. He was a keen observer of his time and a real visionary. He had this incredible ability to weave together this poetic imagery with really profound theological insights. And he had this deep understanding of the human condition.
So why is Isaiah what's so impactful about his writing?
Well, he speaks more about the Messiah than any other prophet.
Okay.
And his prophecies about this coming Savior, who would usher in an era of peace and justice, have had this profound impact on both Jewish and Christian traditions.
So it sounds like to understand the whole messianic hope, you really have to understand Isaiah.
Yeah. His writings provide this bridge between the Old and New Testaments.
Mm.
You know, connecting those prophecies of a future Messiah with the person of Jesus.
It sounds like Isaiah is a big deal.
He is. His writings are so rich with layers of meaning that continue to be explored and debated today.
Okay, so before we dive into Isaiah, I kind of want to zoom out for a second and just recap what we've learned about prophets in general.
Okay.
So what have we learned?
Well, we've learned that prophets were far more than just fortune tellers.
Right.
They were social reformers. They were advocates for justice, voices of hope,
right,
who dared to speak truth to power. And their messages were deeply rooted in their time and place.
Right.
But they transcended their historical context, and they continue to challenge and inspire us today.
Yeah. And we've also learned that prophetic literature, it's not straightforward. It's
complex.
It's complex.
It's full of symbolism,
right,
poetry, and this deep passion for communicating God's message.
So to really understand it,
you gotta
dig deep.
You gotta dig deep. And as we delve into the writings of specific prophets like Isaiah, we're gonna uncover even more layers of meaning and insight that can enrich our understanding of faith, justice, and the human condition.
Wow. It's really been amazing going through all this stuff about prophets.
It really has.
And seeing, how their messages, even though they were speaking, thousands of years ago, it's they're still so relevant today.
Absolutely. It's remarkable how these ancient voices still speak to our modern concerns.
Yeah.
Their critiques of injustice, their calls for compassion, that unwavering belief in a better future. Those themes, they transcend time and culture.
It really makes you think, if these prophets were alive today, what would they, what issues would they be focused on?
That is a really great question.
What would they have to say about the world we live in?
I mean, just imagine Right. Like, imagine Amos confronting, you know, the vast economic disparities that we see all around us.
Yeah. Or Hosea. Yeah. Challenging the way, you know, we just idolize wealth and status.
Right. Right. Hmm. And Micah, you know, calling for justice and mercy in a world that's still grappling with, you know, things like systemic racism and inequality.
Wow.
It's crazy. And then you think about, like, Joel's imagery, right,
yeah,
of ecological devastation.
Right.
That resonates so deeply with the realities of climate change that we're facing today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like...
It's like their voices are echoing, you know, through the centuries.
Yeah.
Urging us to confront these same issues.
Right.
Albeit in different forms.
Right.
But their messages. You know what? They offer this timeless framework for engaging with the challenges of our time.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about Habakkuk, right? And his whole wrestling with the problem of suffering.
Right.
Like that feels so relevant, you know, especially when you look at the world today and all the pain and uncertainty that people are going through.
Absolutely. I mean, he reminds us that it's okay to question, to doubt, to grapple with those complexities of faith.
Yeah.
You know, he models this kind of authentic faith that doesn't shy away from those hard questions.
Right, right.
But, you know, but seeks understanding and meaning.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of suffering.
And even Zephaniah's, you know, warning about the consequences of turning away from God.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a reminder that our choices really do matter.
They do.
You know,
our choices have implications,
yeah,
both individually and collectively.
Yeah.
You know, he challenges us to consider the values that we're embracing, the direction that we're heading as a society.
Right.
You know, it's a call to align our actions with our beliefs and to strive for a world that reflects justice and compassion and righteousness.
So even though these prophets lived thousands of years ago, their message is like, it's not outdated.
It's not, no.
At all. It's like they're offering us this roadmap for how to navigate the complexities of the world today.
Yeah, they offer this compass.
Yeah.
Pointing us toward a more just and compassionate future.
So what do you think? Like what stands out to you as the most like powerful takeaway from this whole exploration?
You know, for me it's that unwavering hope.
Yeah.
That just permeates their message.
Right.
Even in the face of adversity and injustice. They never gave up.
Yeah.
They held on to this belief that a transformed world was possible, that God's justice and mercy would ultimately prevail.
And that's something that we can all hold on to today.
Absolutely.
You know, even when things are tough, when the challenges seem overwhelming, it's that hope.
We can draw strength from their conviction that a better future is possible.
Yeah. And we can be inspired by their courage.
Yes.
You know, to speak truth to power, to challenge injustice.
Absolutely.
And to work tirelessly for a world that reflects God's love and compassion.
And, you know, we started this deep dive by asking, like, what's the deal with prophets?
Yeah.
And I think we've come to see that there's so much more than just, you know, people predicting the future.
Right.
There are these incredibly complex figures who wrestled with the big questions of their time.
Yeah.
And whose words continue to resonate with incredible power and relevance.
And I think that's a great place to wrap things up.
I agree.
So thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Into the world of prophets.
It has.
Until next time, keep diving deep and keep seeking truth.